Let's move on to our time certain item 814.
Accept the report for the Socially Responsible Investing Committee.
Okay, let me get to my item, and I think we've got staff coming up to talk about this. Yes, we do. Yes, we do, Kelly. So Commissioner Novick and I impaneled a committee to make some recommendations on the steps that we as a city can take to invest our money in more socially responsible ways. This stems from some earlier calls for divestment, which is a worthy goal, but not always practical. And council action today is to hear and accept this report. This is not the development of a list. This is not the completion of our work on this subject. It's really the end of the beginning of our work on it, but it's an important work, and I appreciate Commissioner Novick, your help on this and the team in front of us. And with that, if you have some opening comments as well, then we'll call on our panel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for that introduction, and thanks to the committee members and staff for their hard work studying this topic. As my colleagues will recall, I introduced and we unanimously supported a resolution last October to create this committee. And we said that we wanted to start applying some criteria to the city's investments in corporate bonds. We wanted to look to whether entities were engaged in abusive labor practices, in, creating environmental harm, imposing on the health of people in Portland and around the world, whether they had problems with corporate ethics, and whether they were engaging in misuse of market power. We noted that while other cities have created some do not buy lists for defined industries, such as gun manufacturers or tobacco manufacturers, we hadn't found many examples of cities that looked more broadly at the question of corporate practices and looking at criteria that could be applied to any company, whatever business it happened to be in. Something that I think I articulated at the time was that looking at the limited list of companies that meet our financial criteria for buying corporate bonds, if we adopted a rule that any company that falls short on any of these criteria went on the do not buy list, we might have a much more limited list of companies from which to buy bonds, practically speaking, in very short order. So what I envision and still envision is that the likelihood is that in developing do not buy lists, we're likely to put on those lists only companies that fall short on a collection of these criteria rather than just one. What we asked the committee to do, as you said, Mr. Mayor, was to evaluate how we could start incorporating these criteria in our decisions. And we asked them to take a look at a couple of specific mechanisms, but also to look more generally about what are our practices now, how could we best start incorporating those criteria into our buying decisions, and to create further do not buy lists. So with that, I will turn it over to Kelly Ball and Ashley Henry.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Kelly Ball. I'm a Principal Management Analyst with the Office of Management and Finance, and I have the privilege today to provide a brief introduction for the committee. I'd like to invite the committee members to introduce themselves for the three committee members who are here. So, Bernie.
Barry, sorry.
Hi, I'm Barry Bennett.
I teach ethical leadership and decision-making, the MBA program at Marist University, and an attorney with Bonds of Power Research.
Thank you.
I am Ashley Henry. I am the Community Engagement Manager for Beneficial State Foundation. Prior to that, during the time that I was actually appointed to this committee, I worked for a nonprofit organization called Climate Solutions.
Hi, my name is Jenny Liu. I'm an assistant professor at the Portland State University Toulon School of Urban Studies and Planning, and also am the assistant director of the Northwest Economic Research Center, also at Portland State University.
Thank you.
We have two committee members, Felisa Haggins with SEIU, who is not able to be here today, and then Bernie Bottomley. He was a committee member who had to resign for personal reasons partway through, The committee, this five-member committee, was between them. They had expertise in environmental concerns, health concerns, including weapons productions, abusive labor practices, concerns about corporate ethics and governance, tax avoidance, extreme tax avoidance, and an exercise of such a level of market dominance so as to disrupt normal competitive market forces. And so the committee met over this last spring, and today they are asking council to formally accept their report. And with that, I would like to turn it over to Ashley Henry.
Thanks. As you remarked, Commissioner Novick, the committee that was appointed did have a very narrow charge, and I want to make sure that the public understands the degree to which this committee was constrained in terms of the recommendations that it was asked to make to council. We were not asked to provide input on the types of investments you should make. Rather, we were providing a recommendation about the process that you could use to evaluate your investments, the city's investments. And I think there's been a public misperception about that, and perhaps an expectation that this committee would be coming forward with some recommendations about particular types of investments, and that was really not our charge. I also want to point out that Jennifer from the Treasurer's Office, the Treasury Office, is here as well, and she would be able to speak to the specifics about any kind of statutory constraints that the city faces in making its investment decisions. I think those of us on the committee were actually we got a bit of an education as to the kinds of constraints that her office faces when making these kinds of decisions. And as Commissioner Novick referenced, those limitations are significant and would need to be evaluated. So we also recognize that there would be an additional cost for providing this kind of evaluation of socially responsible investing, and we were very mindful of that. I would say that pretty much at every one of our meetings, we did discuss the fact that we weren't given any guidance as to what the cost containment would be. We wanted to ensure that we didn't make a recommendation that was going to unduly burden the city or the city staff. And so we did provide some recommendations, knowing that there would need to be an additional cost evaluation around that, and that council would need to decide if that was a prudent purchase to make. So essentially the process that we recommend, and this is what our report is about, is that you take a two-pronged approach. One would be to establish a permanent committee of citizens who bring different levels of expertise based on the types of issues that you want to be evaluated as part of your investment decisions. So those folks would not necessarily be investment professionals, because of course the city already has a committee that is comprised of investment professionals, but rather this committee would provide additional information. And part of the way that they would provide that additional information is by contracting with a data provider, a data vendor that would provide reports to that committee that evaluates companies based on a wide variety of criteria, everything from environmental impact, labor practices, corporate governance, all the issues that Commissioner Novick listed. There may be some criteria that you would have that would be very difficult to ascertain through some of these reports, and so you would need to identify other ways of gathering that information. But one of the options that we did consider was simply hiring a firm to provide those evaluations for you in the absence of establishing an additional committee of citizens. And we felt that there would be a risk of additional and higher costs to that, and also that would not allow for significant public input. And so what we recommended instead was establishing a permanent committee and having that committee informed with the purchase of these reports. So, and then of course that committee could then recommend a do not buy list based on the information that they gathered. So again, I want to reiterate that this committee is very aware that there may be financial implications in terms of the cost of actually going through the process. And so we respect that that decision would need to be made by council and not by this committee. I wanted to leave plenty of time for questions because I think that the point that I made in the beginning about the confusion around the charge is actually probably the most pertinent point. And I just want to give plenty of time for that.
Great. Okay, thank you. Jenny, do you have anything to add?
I just want to say that we received a lot of good input from various sources and that we did also receive recommendations or comments from the Investment Advisory Committee as well, and we did consider all of these recommendations in drafting our report and our recommendations.
Thank you. So questions for our committee members, our staff? So you've recommended a measured way to step into these issues, to develop the criteria, to start applying them with the parameters to be, frankly, figured out. But I think you've really identified the issues for us very well. I appreciate your work. Other questions, comments for the panel? We'll see if we have any public testimony.
I do have one additional comment I would like to make, and it's in reflection. It's in response to some of the questions that you'll probably receive today. This committee was established to provide you with recommendations on a process that you could use, but you still, as council, have the opportunity to add additional companies to the Do Not Buy list. Mm-hmm. And since I was appointed in part to represent the environmental constituency and I worked for an organization called Climate Solutions, I would be remiss to not mention the impact of the carbon-intensive investments that the city currently has. And so I just wanted to point out that although we are not making a recommendation about divestment, that was not our charge. Council still does have that prerogative.
Good point. Thank you.
I guess I'd like to ask a question, and I'm going to, notwithstanding what I sense is some miscommunication and some misgivings, I'm going to vote today to accept the report, which is a technical function of just receiving
sure.
your report.
Absolutely.
But then I think we have some work to do. Let me start with Ms. Henry. Can you give us a sense of other cities or jurisdictions that are taking up this work that you think we would be well advised to look more closely at how they're addressing socially responsible investing, or if not other cities, just other entities, and your
sure.
thoughts on that?
Yeah, there are a number of municipalities that are signing the 350.org pledge to divest from fossil fuels, and I believe there is someone here representing that organization, and so she could provide that list to you. I do know anecdotally that the city of Oakland, California has signed that pledge, and also Stanford University, which is has a very large endowment and made some very visionary choices about signing the 350.org pledge. So I think you could look to those as guides. And then I also think it would be worthwhile for council to consider learning about the growing movement for impact investing. There are firms that specialize in identifying investments that do have favorable market returns, that economic returns are not compromised. In fact, Wall Street bankers are now seeing that, in fact, this is an economic opportunity, and they are establishing new firms. Now, I realize that would not those types of investments would not meet the criteria that the city has to follow based on Oregon state law, but I do think it represents a trend that demonstrates that you can apply socially responsible criteria and still have positive economic return.
Well, I'll use an example closer to home. My wife is a public employee. She's covered through TIA, CREF. They offer a social choice option, which, and I've been monitoring it over the years, it actually does quite well. Now it's a more conservative fund because it's a blend of bonds and stocks. But they have a screen. It may not be the world's greatest screen, but it is a screen. And it actually has a pretty decent return. The second question I wanted to ask you is, a lot of the debate that I've observed has to do with about the distinction between not buying securities prospectively and affirmatively divesting from holdings that you currently have, which potentially triggers losses. I just wonder if you care to add some more thoughts on that distinction.
Well, we did, as a committee, not recommend divestment and recommended that any decisions around a do-not-buy list only apply going forward.
Yeah.
Jennifer would be able to speak to the specifics. She briefed us on that, and that's not my area of expertise.
Okay. Other questions? Comments?
I wanted to add a little bit to Ashley's response about other cities. So the city staff did survey a whole bunch of cities around the country regarding whether or not they were engaged in socially responsible investments. And what we learned is that a few cities do have that written into their investment policies, but very few of them actually implement them, and that most investments or most municipalities have primarily their fiduciary duty as their primary goal, and then a socially responsible investment as sort of a secondary goal to that. And it hasn't, from what we've learned, it hasn't been really implemented. It has been written into policy, but hasn't been actionable as far as we know.
And I can...
If I could add to that, I think
there's a button on your microphone there. It sometimes works.
I tried it before.
Fair enough. Just swing that other one over closer to you, and that way the system will pick you up.
Move the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Move.
Sorry. That's okay. He's close.
The whole thing moves. Yeah. Thank you.
Low-tech solution.
I think Portland, and really not from our work, really from your resolution, Portland would really be, I think, on the cutting edge of socially responsible investing. Ashley mentioned other entities, including Stanford, and there are many, divesting from fossil fuels. That's perhaps the easier way to do it, and that's the more typical way. The council adopted criteria that have to be implemented. Corrupt corporate practice, divesting from companies that engage in corrupt corporate practices, abusive labor practices, and the like. They're a little more amorphous than simply choosing an industry, so it requires more in-depth research, which is why we're recommending the hiring of a firm. So that really would be cutting edge to really look more deeply into that. And we also recognize that it's possible there will not be off-the-shelf reports that cover all of those principles that the council adopted. And when Ashley referred to cost, that's really the cost of getting that research. And so when and if the council goes forward, it would have to see through RFPs or another process what that cost would be, and perhaps even revisit the principles if necessary.
The research, if I can add, the research that the committee looked at is available online. We'd be happy to get it to council, but we wanted the committee wanted everyone to be able to see what they saw, so that is available online to the Portland website.
Good. Thank you.
I'd just like to ask the committee members to elaborate on the recommendation of having a standing committee of citizens. And my understanding is that part of the, and sort of thinking about that versus sort of addition to hiring a socially responsible investment firm, part of it was thinking about cost, but also it was a matter of thinking you want to have a transparent process with obvious citizen input. So you thought that there was a definite value to having such a public committee. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did attempt to address that, but I agree with you entirely. That's exactly why we recommended what we did. Citizen input complemented by professional evaluations of companies.
And the assumption is that, there's off-the-shelf research that you could buy that would presumably be cheaper than hiring somebody to provide ongoing advice.
Absolutely.
Mm. Now, theoretically, it's conceivable that we could investigate and get lucky and find out that somebody good is willing to provide advice at a lower price than we envision. But I agree that the assumption that it's cheaper to buy the off-the-shelf research product seems like a reasonable assumption.
Good point. Thank you very much. We may have other questions for you after public testimony, but appreciate you.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, there's one thing that I'd like to bring up, which is that Bernie Bottomley from PBA was appointed as a member of the committee, but it turned out he was at other commitments and was transitioning out, so he wasn't able to attend many committee meetings. And Rihanna Ansari was able to attend some of them but not really participate as a committee member. So in recognition of that, I'd appreciate it if you'd be willing to bring up Marion Haynes from PBA to offer their thoughts.
Sure. Be happy to do that. Thank you all very much. Marion, are you here? I thought I saw her earlier. There she is. Come on up, please. Good morning.
Morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Marion Haynes. I'm with the Portland Business Alliance. Thank you for this opportunity. Bernie was appointed to the committee, but because of the transition, didn't spend a lot of time. I think his understanding of his role there, as Ashley had noted, was that it was a fairly narrow charge for that committee. And I think to the extent that he did participate, he made clear that he was really focused on that small process charge, but that really the Alliance does have some concerns about the direction of this policy generally, and I'd like to just speak to that briefly. While we don't necessarily object to taking some of these issues into account, we do not think that creating a do not buy list to put specific companies on is a good idea. It does limit already constrained choices that the city has for investing in corporate securities. Only 35% of the city's investments can go into that. They tend to have higher yields than the alternative, which would be likely treasury bonds. And it could ultimately have an impact on city revenues. The investment returns do get pushed back into all the city bureaus, and so there could be a negative impact there. I have to note that this would be coming at a time when the city is asking residents and businesses, some of which may be eligible for the do not buy list, to step up and provide additional funding for services that the city needs. So that's concerning. It also can send a bad message to legitimate businesses, businesses that are complying with the law, businesses that are part of this community, that employ people in the city, and that pay taxes in the city. So I think there's just a lot of concerns about targeting specific businesses, many of whom are right here and a part of this community. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, I mean, just to respond to that briefly, I mean, we are talking about investments that I think generate about $1.5 million a year, and there's no danger of losing all of that because we always have the opportunity of investing in treasuries. And we are sensitive to the idea that we don't want to reduce this small list to zero, which is, as I said before, one of the major reasons that I at least anticipate that rather than putting companies on the do not buy list because they violate one of the criteria, we'd want likely be looking at those that would violate several. So that would limit the restriction that this would impose.
For what it's worth, and this is a serious subject, but on a slightly lighter note, while we were having this discussion, I just saw a news item that, you know, they rank cities all the time, and there are these rankings which you can wonder about the methodological validity of how they ranked us, but they've turned out that Portland is not the most liberal city in the country. We're the 13th most liberal city, following San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Seattle, Oakland, Boston, Minneapolis, Detroit, New York, Buffalo, Baltimore, and Chicago.
Hello?
So, yeah, some who will celebrate being 13th as opposed to first, and others who will argue about it, but for what it's worth.
Mayor, actually, we were top 10 until you and Novick were elected.
We could have been a contender. Okay, but
we'll
for what that's worth.
We'll have more opportunities to discuss this, I think, as you move forward with it, but thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, and do we have folks signed up to testify on this item, Carl?
Yes, we have three people.
Okay.
Please come on up. Lightning, Joe Walsh, and Sandy Polishek.
Okay, come on up. Thank you for putting that back in its place. For that, we'll give you first dibs if you'd like it.
Thank you. Yes, I would.
She did some work for us there, lady.
Mayor Hales and commissioners, my name is Sandy Polishek. I live in Northeast Portland. I'm here on behalf of 350 PDX, a local of 350.org, a global network of citizens concerned about the climate change crisis. First of all, I want to appreciate the council for the commitment to social responsibility you've shown by creating this temporary committee. I also want to appreciate the temporary committee for tackling the difficult task of recommending the best way to evaluate the complicated work of socially responsible investment. Last year, on June 5th, Mayor Hales said at a World Environmental Day press conference, "I'm proud that our city holds no direct fossil fuel assets in our financial investment portfolio. It's not enough. The city must urge the Oregon State Treasurer, the local government investment pool, and the Oregon Investment Council to divest all state holdings in fossil fuel. Why take this seemingly risky investment strategy? Because not doing so is a truly risky move," unquote. We agree with the mayor's statement, except for one error of fact, which we understand was only because he wasn't given full information. The city was not then and is not now divested from fossil fuels. At the time, the city held a Chevron bond and has since purchased an ExxonMobil bond. In July of 2013, Mayor Hales met with 350.org's co-founder, Bill McKibben. "We were proud when our mayor made clear his commitment for the city to pass a binding resolution pledging to divest from the 200 publicly traded companies holding the majority of the world's fossil fuel reserves, reserves that the world cannot afford to burn if we want to have a planet our species can continue to inhabit." We in 350 PDX spoke with the other commissioners and were assured that this resolution would pass. Instead, this committee was created. We expected it to deal with the issue, but instead the committee was charged with coming up with a process that would recommend how the council should proceed. We have waited patiently. It has been 10 months, and now we face the even more difficult task of a permanent committee, assuming the temporary committee's report is accepted. Unlike the complicated evaluations and expensive services of outside data research vendors, the volunteer service of busy people, and hours of city staff time, the mechanics of fossil fuel divestment is simple. Council can direct the treasurer to add the 200 companies on our list to its do not buy list, just as it did with Walmart. Only two of them are on the city's buy list. I only have about three sentences.
Please.
Thank you. The list of 200 has already been created. Council can easily demonstrate its political will to align the city's investments with the values of its citizens. Portland has been a leader in our state and county. Seattle, Eugene, and probably Ashland, who has it on its agenda this week, as well as San Francisco, Oakland, many cities, particularly in the Northeast, colleges, universities, foundations, and faith-based communities, including the World Council of Churches, entities in this country and the world have made the fossil fuel divestment commitment, many foundations, including locally the Jubitz Foundation. It's time for the council to recognize the urgency of the climate crisis and take this action next. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Good morning, Lightning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Think Lab. This is one of the few times I'm going to agree with the Portland Business Alliance. I think you're absolutely on the mark on this not going any farther than it already has. To me, this is an outright embarrassment. You have this investment advisory committee pulling up data that they know they can't get all the data and do all the research. And when you provide this information out and put them on a do not buy list, that jeopardizes those business owners of possibly investing in other companies and other people not doing business with them. I highly recommend you have a very high E&O insurance policy placed on you. And these membership people, especially from the NERC team, you are an incompetent group, number one, and how you got on this list is beyond me. And Dr. Podolsky, again, my name is Lightning. You are an incompetent economics professor and should not be on this list. Now, referring back to this list on socially responsible investing committee, your information that you've provided today, basically says Walmart has an excellent environmental record, but a poor record in respect to labor. Now, let me read you a quote, and you need to start pulling up the correct information. Washington Examiner, May 30th, 2013, Walmart hit with the second largest pollution fine in history. Super retailer Walmart has been slapped with $110 million in environmental fines after pleading guilty to improperly dumping pesticides, all of it returned by customers, in public sewers. This group, you are incompetent. Your data is incompetent, and this is an outright joke to the larger corporations out there, and you should be sued for even bringing this information properly and not having the proper data before you write down that Walmart has no environmental issues. That is second to the largest oil spill in the world, and you can contact the Justice Department right now and get that confirmed. Your data is incompetent, you don't get the right information, and this is what happens. You will be hit with lawsuits if you go any farther on this and you don't do the proper research, and that is stated right in your reports as of today. Read it today and find that out. This is incompetent work.
Walsh?
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the problems that we have here as activists and citizens coming before you is by the time we get to you, the committees, the staff, the consultants have all done their work. So it's in a very expensive proposition if I was to give you all the facts and convince you, and you were sitting in your seat saying, you know what, he's right, we ought to turn this over. It would be very expensive. So what does that mean to the citizens? It means it's very difficult for us to come here and overturn something. So in this process, you're going to set up a citizens committee, which has good stuff and bad stuff. The good stuff is the citizens should be involved. We all should agree to that, I think, under a democracy or a representative government. However, it's very difficult to criticize citizen volunteers because they're giving their time. So when people go to those meetings, it's very difficult to criticize them. We elect you. We want to criticize you, not your staff, not the committees, not the consultants, you. You make the decisions, but you insulate it by saying, well, we'll set up this committee over here, and we'll set up this consultant over there, and when it comes time, when the stuff hits the fan, we'll just say, we had a citizens committee, and they said we should do this. I'm asking you to think about the process. That's what this is. This is process stuff. It has nothing to do with reality. It has to do with creating a committee and turning around and getting a consultant that's going to cost us a small fortune again. And then we come here and we say, we don't like this. Would you please overturn it? And you're looking at the bills and saying, I don't think so, Joe. We ain't overturning this. You're going to vote for this today. We're not naive. But I'm asking you to start thinking of the process, because the process is wrong. That's why we're in a mess. Mayor, you talk about the top 10. I'll give you the top one. This is the most depressed city in the United States. How's that for a reputation? We have more people depressed than any other city in the United States. How's that for a reputation? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any other questions the council has for the committee or the report? Then let's have a motion, please, to accept the report.
So moved. So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Saltzman.
I'm pleased to accept this report. I do want to note some issues that are of concern to me as we move forward on this. One is there were some strong concerns expressed by the Investment Advisory Committee over how this mechanics of this may work, and I think those concerns need to be heeded as we move forward and form a permanent committee. Second, I want to make sure that we have the mechanisms in place to sort of avoid the flavor of the month. So whatever corporation's in the headlines in the Oregonian or Willamette Week or the Mercury doesn't suddenly end up on our proposed do not buy list a week later. So those are the things I will be watching carefully as this process evolves. But I thank the committee for their work, and I'm pleased to accept their report. Aye.
Novick.
I'd like to thank the committee members for their long, hard work in this process. I'd like to thank Kelly Ball and Janet Storm of OMF and Jennifer Cooperman for their help, and the city's Investment Advisory Committee for their review of the committee's recommendation. And I would like to thank my colleagues for last fall setting us on an innovative path with regard to socially responsible investment. And because it is an innovative path, we are moving quite deliberately, which is why we started with a committee to explore what the appropriate process is for applying our criteria. And I very much appreciate that there are people who are willing to step forward and serve on a committee with that rather narrow, technical, and arguably not that jazzy charge. I really, really appreciate that. And appreciate the committee's recommendations. And it is my intention to bring forward a proposal for the next step later this year. It might not be as quickly as otherwise I might have hoped, because I'm going to be gone some of September on my honeymoon. But again, I think it's very important for the city to start expressing its values in our money. And I do think we need to be careful about it, because as people have mentioned, there's a limited number of companies whose bonds we can buy to begin with. And we want to set up criteria that don't result in a process that don't result in our having none that we can buy. But I think that we're engaged in a worthy effort here. I really, again, appreciate my colleagues for setting us on this path last fall, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Thanks to Commissioner Novick for starting this off, and to Mayor Hales and others for supporting it, and indeed to the citizens and Jennifer Cooperman and others for your diligent work. And it is interesting to me that we're setting up another process rather than coming up with any kind of a list at this time. And we've been working on this for the 5.5 years that I've been on the council, that we do recognize that where we spend our money matters. So, and with looking forward to the formation of the committee, it's proposed to have a 7 to 10 member committee. This past one was set up to have balanced interest groups by Commissioner Novick and the mayor. I would suggest that in the next one that we have each council member allowed to designate one member to the committee. I particularly appreciate the Technology Oversight Committee, where because I nominate a representative, that person stays in touch with me and gives me regular updates. And I think that's a good model for our citizen committees to make sure that the electeds are in the loop as we go along and not just brought in at the end. So I'd make that as a formal request. I appreciated the testimony from 350.org, and it does seem, although we do need a policy for the overall strategy and to teasing out how big companies and small companies are interwoven and such, it seems to me that Exxon, for example, I'm distressed to hear that we just bought Exxon bonds, that's a pretty well-known fossil fuel company and not that complicated to have a small list of do not buy that could be done sooner rather than later. And maybe that could be one of the charges of the committee to start off with, is are there some really obvious companies that we don't buy bonds in or invest in? The comments from the Portland Business Alliance and others regarding the cost, yes, there's a cost to spending your money wisely and to investing wisely. And we had the presentation from Venture Portland. We encourage people to shop at their local small businesses, even though it may cost a little more than Walmart or others. The city needs to be no less responsible in how we spend the taxpayers' money and invest it. And yes, there's a cost, but as the 350.org has made out, there's also a cost for not doing it. And in terms of climate change and the cost of fighting fires because our atmosphere is being destroyed and such. So let's not be short-sighted as to looking at what's the $1.5 million that we get from investments. If I understood your comment correctly, that's a number that's a fraction of the entire city budget, and we need to be making sure that we spend the taxpayers' and ratepayers' money and invest it in ways that help us reach our further goals. Aye.
Fish.
First, Commissioner Novick, thanks for starting us on this path. And I have learned in my 6 years on council that when you launch a process for which there isn't precedent, it doesn't always go in a straight line. And sometimes when people get exasperated with that, I remind them that until we launched that process, we weren't actually doing the thing they're asking us to do. So give us a little time and to get it right. I am concerned, however, about the issues that have been raised around expectations and communication. And that's really on us. Frankly, we have to do a better job on both fronts. To Jennifer Cooperman, who does a superb job on the city side giving us great advice, and to Ashley Henry, who came in with a team and briefed me on this, thank you both for your work. These issues are complicated, and we start with a values proposition that we want to do socially responsible investing, but there are details here which are complex. And while I, like everyone else up here, get anxious from time to time when the room is filled with lawyers and other people telling us what we can and can't do, the reality is, when we're managing public dollars like this, we have to do it in a deliberate and thoughtful way. And that's the path that I think you've set us on, Steve. I want to echo what Commissioner Fritz said, though. We're talking about establishing investment priorities and policies for the city. And so I would like us to double down on making sure that each commissioner is invested in the next phase of this process. And I think the dividends will reap to your benefit. Thank you for an excellent discussion, and I'm pleased to accept the report, and I will do my homework in looking closer at the experience of both Stanford and Oakland. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to thank our staff and the committee and Commissioner Novick for getting us this far in this issue. You know, we're walking carefully into tricky ground here, and I think we can do it. We are a progressive city, rankings notwithstanding. We are a progressive city, and we are a city that has actually put that progressivism into action in real ways. We have reduced our carbon footprint. We've had a 30% per capita reduction in carbon emissions in Portland because of our climate action plan. That's real, and it's envied around the world, and other cities are trying to compete with us on that virtuous competition to actually do the right thing. We recycle more than other cities do, and other cities are trying to follow that leadership. So we put our values into action in what we do as a city, not just as an organization, but our citizens doing it as well. So I'm confident that we're going to be able to do that with respect to our investments, that we'll put our values into practice in terms of what we buy and what we don't buy. We also have another ranking that we ought to remember, which is that we, for 30 years plus, have had a AAA bond rating, something that other cities would love to have. And we have a balanced budget, which this council has accomplished in good years and bad, and a pension program that is paid for rather than as a giant liability hanging over our city's head. Believe me, Mayor Emanuel, who city allegedly ranks higher on that list of liberal cities than ours does, would love to have our pension system and our pension situation versus the one that Chicago has. So we have managed to be, so far, and will be, a progressive city that lives its values, balances its books, and is sustainable financially as well as environmentally. And I'm confident that we're going to follow those values and that path as we walk into this tricky ground of how do we invest. So I think this is the right way to proceed. I appreciate this discussion and the investment of political capital by the rest of the council and the work that Commissioner Novick has begun. And I look forward to bringing this to the next stage in the right way, at the right time, but not too long.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Can I correct an inexcusable error?
What's that?
I forgot to thank Katie Schreiber of my staff, who spent countless hours into this. And the only excuse I can offer is that I have this tendency to rely slavishly on Katie's talking points. And, of course, she doesn't put thanking her into the talking points. But I realize it's not a very good excuse.
Here, here. I'll second that. Thank you all, and vote aye. Okay.